Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe weren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick. Yarr! Today is September 13th, 2015, and this is Episode 2, Intro to Cowboy Bebop. Welcome, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the Anime Buoy Recommendation and Discussion Podcast, where we talk about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed, as well as shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as maybe they should be.
AnimeBuoy.org.
This week, we are definitely going to be looking at a show that most of you have probably seen, but you know, it's near and dear to our hearts. If you're listening to this show, you probably have listened to our other show, GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Of course, we literally just got finished recording an episode of GameBuoy. We may go a little short here on Anime Buoy today. Obviously, you know, you could probably hear it in my voice a little bit. I have been talking a lot today. but, you know, I don't want to focus on this stuff too long. Let's just move straight into the discussion and talk about Cowboy Bebop. Unless you have anything to add, Slaggy?
Nope. Let's buckle up, get ready to blast off into hyperspace.
All right. Well, Cowboy Bebop ran in Japan from April 3rd, 1998 to April 24th, 1999. It initially broadcast on TV Tokyo before going to the Wow Wow satellite station. You know, and Cowboy Bebop is a big deal. It was directed by Shinichiro Watanabe-san, who is, a famed director in the modern age. Music by Yoko Kanno, who is, you know, like the queen of anime music, practically.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was a really big deal. Watanabe-san had created a special tagline for the series to promote it during, like, to its original, like, presentation for you know, production, saying it would later be known as a new genre unto itself.
Which these days has kind of become a little bit of a meme, but...
Yeah.
I mean, really, it kind of was a new genre unto itself. It combined all of these elements that, you know, really fused together nicely.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a comedy, it is a detective caper, it's action fiction, it's a thriller, it's film noir, it's everything, all rolled into one.
Is it a bitch, is it a lover, a child, and a mother?
Watanabe-san used this genre, or this mashup of genres, to basically explore every major philosophical theme that you could think of. Like, you want to see some existential ennui, you want to take a look at loneliness and its effect on our relationships to one another, you want to look at just existentialism generally, you want to look at how, you know, the theory of how the past affects our presence. This show is everything. In 26 scant episodes... Every major literary theme you can think of is touched on in some way.
As you said, though, it is also very comedic at points. So, I mean, it's not all serious business. So it makes you think, it makes you laugh.
It references tons of specific important creative minds, including, you know, specific references to the works of John Woo, William Gibson, Spike Spiegel, the main character, of course, has a lot of connections to Bruce Lee and the Jeet Kune Do fighting style.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, Spike's actual martial arts that he fights within the show, which is painstakingly rendered, is Jeet Kune Do. It's just, there's a level of detail and a level of presentation that is unlike anything else. You have a focus and a look at, like, geopolitical interactions, some discussion on even, like, literally, like, Native American spiritualistic themes.
Mm-hmm.
This show, it looks at everything. It's one of the few anime where there's a real, like, multi-ethnic cast of characters. It's not just an LOL meme when a black character comes on screen, for example. Like, there's an actual, like, real look at, you know, like, how characters from different racial backgrounds are interacting. It is just so much more, sort of, than the standard anime. And it's funny because, you know, this comes out of Sunrise Studio, which is most known for their work on some of the 90s Macross titles and, Gundam. Like, you look at Sunrise and you're basically looking at Gundam and Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I mean, that, and that's also where Watanabe-san, you know, is also known for.
Well, oh, absolutely. Watanabe-san himself...
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Watanabe-san himself, aside from the things that he himself is now known for doing, stuff like Samurai Champloo, Kids on the Slope, Space right. Dandy, Terror and Resonance.
It's all great.
Those are well known for being Watanabe-san productions. But before that, you know, he was working on stuff like Mobile Suit Gundam, 0083, Stardust Memory, stuff like co-director on Macross Plus.
Right.
He did shorts, you know, in Animatrix.
With Shoji Kawamori-san.
Well, yeah, Shoji Kawamori-san is amazing. And yeah. Someone we'll talk about
and,
at a
Yoko
later
Kano
date.
Also working with Watanabe-san on Macross Plus, which we'll definitely be talking about.
Macross Plus is one of my favorite anime of all time, hands down. But anyway, the point here, you know, Watanabe-san is an incredible talent.
This is really, really done, where he made his name.
Done a ton of different works that are fantastic. But Cowboy Bebop is really where he made his name, as you say, Slang.
Like, not only, like, a basically, like, Criterion collection of sort of quality work of anime, but, you know, also of the sci-fi, it's a sci-fi masterwork, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, Watanabe-san worked with character designer Toshihiro Kawamoto-san really to sort of take like a base personality trait and build characters around them, but then to build like flaws into the characters and histories so that they're not just one note characters. You have someone like Jet Black, who, you know, has like a whole history that we don't even learn everything about. A lot of stuff is just hinted at. And yet, because they did this world building where they built complete characters with complex backgrounds that sometimes interconnected, even if we didn't see it on screen, you end up with like really rich characterizations. Every character has their own like sense of style and fashion. Unlike a lot of shows, they don't all just wear the same thing in every episode. Although there are certainly, like, the standard costumes for right. each of them. It's such a special show with its attention to detail. Building a world around these characters. Building full characters into this show, you know? And it's really funny because the project was initially originated with Bandai's toy division to be like the original Gundam. Like, this is primarily existent to sell toys. And, you know, Bandai had told Watanabe-san when they sponsored this project with a great deal of money, so long as there's a spaceship in it, you can do whatever you want. Like, they were basically trying to get this to be like He-Man for, you know, the late 90s. Bandai ended up pulling out of the project until Bandai Visual, who is like a sister company, you know, they basically stepped in and were like, you know, this early work you've done that got rejected by our toy producing brothers, we think this is fantastic. And, you know, so they backed it up. They really helped Watanabe-san, you know, sort of design these lush cities based on New York and Hong Kong, and really brought this project to life. Because, you know, it's really a crazy thing to think about. Such a sophisticated show that is, you know, it's obviously mainly inspired by Lupin the Third, let's be clear. In fact, you can even see some similarities, or not similarities, but homage to, like, Spike Spiegel and, like, Lupin, the title character of Lupin the Third.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, you look at stuff that's broached in Cowboy Bebop, you have sympathetic drug dealers and homosexuals. Like, you don't see these things in other anime. Like, This is a really just special and important show.
It was very groundbreaking.
Super groundbreaking. Like, and it's not really a surprise to think that Bandai initially came to this project as, like, give us a toy line. And, like, got scared and ran. So, you know, and I wanted to talk about that stuff in the development sense, just because I want to give you a feel for how special this show is from a creative standpoint. But another thing I wanted to talk about was the music. And, Slaggy, I thought you might want to talk about the music here. I know you're a big fan of Yoko Kanno. She formed a band just for the music belts. In this show. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
So, yeah, Yoko Kanno, like we said, one of the most celebrated composers. She came fresh off of the success. Well, I mean, I say the success of Escaflowne, but, you know, Escaflowne kind of really being still a little bit obscure compared to some other things. But she'd done, like, again, Macross Plus as well. Please Save My Earth. You might, if you're familiar with that. But, I mean, this is one of her most celebrated because she formed the band Seatbelts to compose this music, which, you know, is just heavy influence from bebop, blues, jazz, and not just bebop, but other types of jazz genres. And, I mean, just really, really fantastic. You know, the opening theme, Tank, is, you know, one of the classic, not only just the music for it, but also, like, the visual appearance. Like, you think see things like Archer to these days. You know, it definitely was playing with that kind of, like, 60s sort of spy opening. And, you know, definitely the music definitely heightens that. Just, like, you know, just something that she's known for is just, you know, just the way her versatility.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a little bit of controversy, you know, she composed the music, and then when it was released, you know, she was kind of surprised by some of the uses, but she didn't think that any of the use of, like, she's like, oh, it should have, I would have preferred it being in another scene, but, you know, she didn't think anything was inappropriate, so overall, you know, she was happy with how it came together.
Well,
and she found it, like, a very relaxed environment to work in.
Something that was really special about this specific partnership between Watanabe and Yoko Kanno-san is that you would actually have, like, Watanabe would be explaining scenes to her, and then she would become inspired by the scene and make music for it. But then the pieces that she would bring back to Watanabe would actually inspire him to make different scenes. And that's how, you know, she talked about how she was surprised of how some pieces were used. And that's really accepted as the reason for that. But the next half is, you know, during the second half of the series, they're still producing it. Some of the early episodes are finished and she's seen them. And they actually inspired her to make more music than they asked or paid for, which is typically like an unacceptable business practice because, you know, you bring this music, you're still going to get paid for it, but it's beyond what the contract was for. But in this case, Watanabe-san ended up taking those songs and using them and developing entirely new sequences because he was so inspired by their music.
Yeah.
They just had a really incredible loop of positive feedback to one another.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really, I think, why they ended up reuniting for Kids on the Slope and Space Dandy.
Absolutely. You know, something really interesting, and I want to move away from the music. I want to talk about its broadcast history.
Yeah,
because this is so weird. This show was very controversial in its airing because of the depictions of graphic violence. TV Tokyo, whom is one of the main broadcasters of anime in Japan, actually canceled the show after only airing 6 episodes. And they aired them out of order. They aired episodes 2, 3. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. They did air out of order, but they aired actually a run of episodes. So they aired 2, then 3, then 7 to 15, then 18, and then a TV special, which, as far as I know, you can only really see in the modern age on, like, the special edition of the Blu-ray release.
Mm.
But it was actually canceled after that point due to low ratings. But then, you know, Satellite Network Wow Wow picked it up, and it was, you know, aired it in its entirety in order, and it began it to be a hit. It actually caught on. In North America, it aired on Adult Swim via Cartoon Network, and it was actually the first anime shown on Adult Swim, and it was so successful that they basically just broadcast it back-to-back for 4 years, just running the same 26 episodes back-to-back. And it has aired in its entirety every year since 2007 on Adult Swim.
Oh, has it really?
And in fact, this year they used the HD remaster for it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so this show, it's just one that really endures. It's been released repeatedly on home media. They remastered the music alone a few years back in 2002, I think it was, as Cowboy Bebop Remix, which had a new Dolby 5.1 stereo sound. Watanabe-san supervised, like, video remastering the video. Then in 2012, there was a Japanese Blu-ray release, and that was highly remastered. Like, Watanabe-san was heavily involved in a complete ground-up remaster of that. It looks beautiful. That is actually what the master that was used for the more recent Blu-ray release that we got here in North America last December.
Mm.
And that is a fantastic release. I have a copy of it on Blu-ray. It just looks beautiful. This show, so it ran 26 episodes. There was also a movie. We'll talk about that as an aside. But sort of the fundamental idea here is that you have these four characters, five if you count the dog. You have Spike Spiegel.
How could you not count the dog?
Jet Black, Faye Valentine, Edward, and Ein the Data Dog. Edward's last name is Wong, by the by.
Yes.
And Edward Wong is...
it's one of our Twitter friends.
It is somewhere on the gender spectrum, but do you think it would be fair to call that a queer character?
I think Edward could be gender fluid, gender queer.
Because I've always seen the character of Edward as like a two-spirit kind of character.
Yeah, but the thing is, not very, like, you know, very childlike, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Either way, I'm a big fan of all of the characters in the show for different reasons. You have Faye Valentine, who's like almost like a femme fatale type character. In her analog in this kind of story would typically be like a femme fatale. But in this case, she's played a little more human than you would typically get out of those kinds of characters.
Mm-hmm.
She is, you know, has a really tragic backstory.
Yeah.
Which that's actually a running theme in this series, tragic backstories.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jet Black, of course, he's like a bounty hunter along with mm-hmm. Spike Spiegel. They have a ship, the Bebop.
Former cop who's like kind of got disillusioned with the Force.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the Force, like the police force, not the Force that may or may not be with you. Thank you. You know, Edward, of course, is a young, brilliant hacker. She's fantastic. They have a dog, a data dog named Ein, which is like a dog that possesses like yes. human intelligence.
Welsh Corgi.
And it is a Welsh Corgi. Slagkick might go on and on about dogs and things. And, you know, basically it's just these characters trying to carve out a life for themselves on the fringes of space. It's a sci-fi future setting, but, like, so sci-fi future that it becomes, like, Old West, kind of somewhat similar to what you might have seen in things like Firefly, but doing it before Firefly was cool. it's just really cool. You know, all of these characters ultimately are trying to carve out a niche for themselves, bounty hunting, while basically... In order, their pasts come back to haunt them. And it's really, you know, thematically about, you know, dealing with life and the past and overcoming it and owning yourself. And,
yep.
you know, somewhat atypically, it doesn't really work out super well for everyone long term. I don't want to get super spoilery, but, you know, it's just really, really cool. And one of my favorite things about this show, you know, there are a couple of episodes that when you watch it the first time, feel like they're maybe a little fillery. But then after the fact, you realize, like, even those filler episodes had some really important moments or mm-hmm. introduced really important, like, things into this world to sort of enable the ending. So it's just a really well-constructed, really just fantastic series. It is an absolute masterwork, I would say. And I think any real purveyor of anime would agree. Saigi, why don't you talk a little bit about the first time you saw Cowboy Bebop?
The first time I would have seen it would have been on Toonami, or Adult Swim, rather. But a friend of ours who...
will probably never be on the show.
Who probably will never be on the show. My more memorable viewing of it would have been I got it on DVD right when it came out on DVD, and he had never seen it, so I would be going down to hang out with him, and we'd watch a couple episodes each week, and he just was completely enraptured with it. So that was really cool to be able to share the quality of this work with a friend. So yeah, we would have a little bit of port wine and watch Cowboy Bebop, and it was just great. So, yeah, I mean, technically, that was the first time I had actually watched it all the way through because, you know, Adult Swim, I was still in high school at that point. I wasn't able to necessarily catch it all the time. But, you know, at that time, I was the type of person who I was like, oh, I will buy an anime, you know, just based on seeing a couple episodes or based on recommendation. So that was kind of my involvement with it.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, I first saw Cowboy Bebop on a fan-subbed VHS tape when I was in high school. And, you know, it was brought into our anime club, and we watched it, probably inappropriately, because we watched... the first episode we saw was the second episode of the series, and it was really bad quality, but there was just something about it, about the music and just the attitudes and the fashion and the animation quality, which, you know, we haven't talked about a whole lot here, but the animation quality is just fantastic even today. I mean, Sunrise, this show's a real looker.
Yeah, and Sunrise has always been known for, you know, their beautiful animation.
Yeah, and it's such a phenomenal looking series that it really caught my attention, and it was like, you know, this is one I'm really going to have to follow up on and see the rest of. And so, you know, I followed Bandai Visual's American or Western anime releases, which was always really weird. Like, some stuff you'd have to direct order from them, some stuff you'd be able to get in stores. And, you know, eventually I was able to get my hands on all of it and really watch it beginning to end. And it was just, it blew me away. Like, it was like practically an emotional, like, journey for me. So, overall, big fan of the series. It's one that, you know, I still watch fairly often from time to time. And when I'm, you know, like, meeting a new friend, this is on my list of, like, hey, what do you think of Cowboy Bebop? Like, this is a litmus test for how our tastes are compatible.
And, you know, something that's really speaks to the quality of this, very similar to our last episode about Satoshi Kon, is that people who maybe aren't typically anime fans or maybe don't consider themselves anime fans, you mentioned Cowboy Bebop and they'll just be like, oh man, yeah, I love Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a good point. That's how you can tell, like, that this is a like real great show, is that even people who don't consider themselves fans of the that art style are super into it. And yeah, it's just fantastic. Well, you know, you've probably already seen Cowboy Bebop. If you haven't, hopefully we have convinced you to watch it. I want to sidebar here now and just talk a little bit about derivative works. So, like, you know, there was a couple of manga series based on Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with them.
They came after the animation. One was called Cowboy Bebop Shooting Star. It was written by Kane Kuga and ran two tankobon. The second series was just called Cowboy Bebop. That one was done by Yutaka Nanten. Neither of them are like a straightforward adaptation. They're both like side stories.
Huh.
Both were released in North America, licensed by Tokyopop. You can find copies of them used on like Amazon or whatever. There were also two video games. I think only one actually came out, but they're both pretty good. Actually, no, they both came out. For some reason, I thought the second one was canceled, but the first was a PS1 game. It was a like space shooter. You take control of Spike Spiegel's personal ship, the Swordfish 2, from a third person perspective, and you're just trying to chase other ships to crash them and collect their bounty. It was fun, but very basic. So the second one is more interesting. It's an action game. It's the Serenade of Reminiscence. It's based, like, it's an original story, but it's based within the canon. I don't know if it is canon, but it's at least based as almost in between episodes. It was at one point announced for a U.S. release, and that was canceled, which is where my confusion came from.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a pretty cool game. I remember when reading it, and I thought it was canceled, and I realized it was just the North American release being canceled. It sounded really cool. Like, I may have to go look into importing a copy of this right now.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about it again at a later date once my copy arrives. The last and most notable derivative work, though, is the film.
Yep.
This was released in North America as Cowboy Bebop the Movie Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Japanese title translates more directly just Cowboy Bebop Heaven's Door.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
The interesting thing about the Cowboy Bebop movie is that it takes place between episodes 22 and 23 of the original series. People who have seen the series, of course, know exactly why that is and what characters that does allow them to access. And something that's really interesting, you know, is that Watanabe-san, he actually directed this movie because he had actually approached each individual episode as like a miniature film. So it came natural to him when it was time to make the movie. Like, it was just like, okay, we're just doing the same thing we used to do, but on a bigger scale. And that both helps and hurts. The movie ends up feeling just like a lost episode of Bebop that is maybe bigger than the others. But it's not bad. It's just kind of extra. It has more intricate action sequences than the TV series does. They literally used more cells in the animation, so things look a little more fluid in their movement.
Yeah.
But again, it it's kind of like a 23-minute episode blown up to 2 hours.
I say that's a fair assessment, yeah.
So, you know, it's worth watching if you love Bebop like we do. If you're watching the TV series and you just pop the music in at its appropriate spot, it works a lot better. But unfortunately, a lot of us don't have that option. We had already seen the movie before, or seen the TV series before the movie even existed. And for us, it's just like, this feels a little bit like a step backward. It's like, you recently watched the Bebop movie. You would agree with that statement?
I think that's a very accurate assessment.
Excellent. All right. Well, then let's wrap this up, Slaggy. What are your closing thoughts on Cowboy Bebop to our listeners?
It's really one of the masterworks of anime. Part of the reason we're doing this is because, you know, anime has always kind of historically had this perception of being like, oh, you know, it's stupid, it's fan service, but, you know, there's, like, this is, like, quality, you know, work that, you know, like I said, it has a place in the larger sci-fi canon, and, you know, just really, I mean, a really engrossing story and characters, very memorable characters. Something I want to point out is that, you know, we don't really do the dub versus sub thing on here. You know, we're trying to, you know, encourage you to check out these shows, which whatever way you want to. But I would say that Cowboy Bebop is one of the better dubs. Steve Bloom, as you know, you're probably familiar with him if you're a fan of anime and gaming, was the voice of Spike Spiegel. And, you know, really, I mean, I am more used to the dub. So, you know, I definitely identify with him as Spike, but, you know, just a really good dub, and just kind of a funny side note that this is one of many anime-based movies, or anime-based franchises that Hollywood has expressed interest in, for better or worse, and Keanu Reeves for a very long time was attached to the role of Spike Spiegel, so that's probably not going to happen at this point, and, you know, Watanabe-san himself was even involved to a certain degree, but basically he was like, I don't know what's going on with Hollywood. They have their own problems. But yeah, Keanu Reeves, big Cowboy Bebop fan.
Which, you know, how could he not be?
Pretty much. Also a big fan of eating sandwiches on a bench.
Real talk. Well, all right. Well, we're clearly getting silly, so let's start wrapping this up. Asagi, have you been watching any new anime this week?
Really, the only thing I've been able to keep up with lately is Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, that's true for me, too. Just sticking with Dragon Ball Super right now.
You know, great adaptation of Dragon Ball Battle of Gods. Was that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. And I, I'll definitely start watching other series as soon as I have time. September has just been a really rough month for me.
Yeah, same here. That always historically seems to be a busy month.
Well, heck, I mean, as our listeners know, we meant to record this episode a week ago.
Yeah,
we're only getting to it now, so
yeah.
So we'll definitely be back at you with more shows to talk about when we come back and record for you guys again later this month. But you know, we really wanted to get this Cowboy Bebop episode out there, especially since it's a show that so many of you have already seen. We knew it'd be sort of a easier one to get out there for you. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah,
Slaggy, you probably have some social links, do you?
I do. Well, over here on Anime Buoy, we decided to call that Dot Ask Mail. And if you get it, props to you, Mama. On our question of the week, we asked this week we're talking about Cowboy Bebop. What are your thoughts on the work, which has become a new genre unto itself? And one of our big Game Buoy super fans, Your Enzyme, replied over on Twitter saying, Cowboy Bebop was the reason I started taking anime seriously. God bless Adult Swim / Toonami for opening my eyes. And I love that response because, I mean, I feel like that's a very typical experience. You know, like, a lot of us were probably used to, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, you know, and like Tenchi, you know, which Tenchi has a, I have a very difficult relationship with Tenchi Muyo, but you know, it's just, it's so good, so high quality. We also have a bunch of feedback to share this week because, you know, last time we were brand new. We didn't have any tweets to share. So we're going to just really quickly rattle off some tweets. We like to always acknowledge your feedback. We got one from Gregor the Cruel saying, I just refer people to Watanabe Works and watch it with them. He's actually competent on storytelling. So this was actually before we posted our question of the week, but very topical. And you'd even said, oh, that's literally all we're going to be talking about next time. Gregor the Cruel also saying, just kind of about anime in general, my general rule of thumb is I don't fuck with the series longer than 35 episodes. Eliminates trash. Yeah, there is a reason why, filler arcs and lost puppy episodes is kind of a meme.
Yeah.
that retro code saying just in regards to anime, I just recently got back into it. Can't wait to hear more of the podcast. Yay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dan Diaz said, had to check my calendar for April 1st. Nope. Congratulations on a new launch. Thank you. Sky, aka Rob Roberts from the Voice of Geeks Network, Orange Lounge Radio, saying, starting another podcast because just one ain't good enough. You boys making me so proud with a little tear face. And in regards to Dan Diaz's comment, I did the same thing. Shh, LOL.
Ah.
And you had said in regards to Rob, well, we did learn it from watching you, Hearts. And he said, I can't really respond to an accurate read, shrug, LOL. We got a tweet from the Book Pirate in regards to our first episode saying, I love Satoshi Kon. You have great taste. The Book Pirate also saying there should be a GameBuie.org crossover special where you talk about the Persona 4 anime. And yeah, that actually would be kind of fun. We talked about it very, very briefly, you know, when we talked about Persona earlier this year, but, you know, definitely a great one to check out. Your Enzyme responding to me mentioning Steven Universe, you know, not anime, but very anime inspired, saying, ah, what did you think of Steven Universe? It isn't for everyone, but I love that show.
We are huge fans.
Huge fans. I mean, probably one of the best up there with, you know, Avatar and Avatar Legend of Korra. Probably one of the best Western cartoons ever made. Definitely, you know, has serious themes in the vein of a lot of anime. And, geez, these days, like, so many feels. Like, it's really rivaling, like, Adventure Time and such. Your Enzyme had been checking in, saying, not on iTunes or Stitcher yet. We are now, so go check us out. Gamer Fox saying, I'm not huge into anime, but I really love the ones I do like, such as Full Metal Alchemist and One Piece. Your Enzyme saying, I need to start watching some anime again. Been paying for Crunchyroll for over a year without watching a thing. Also saying, if you want topic suggestions, I'd like to hear an episode about anime that subverts genre conventions. Well, I guess Cowboy Bebop kind of starting that out, right? But yeah, that's definitely, you know, over on GameBuie, we try to look at things that are left of center. So we love things that subvert tropes that kind of play with genre expectations. So you can definitely look forward to more of that. So thank you for all that feedback. You know, for a new show, we really appreciate you all giving us a chance and checking us out. And if you want to keep in touch with us, you can tweet us at animebuie.org with the .org spelled out .dotorg.
At animebuie.org with the .org spelled out .dotorg.
You can check us out over. We are on iTunes and Stitcher now, so we like your subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We appreciate those. And we're over on Facebook as well. You can email us at mailbuie@animebuie.org.
Mailbuie@animebuie.org.
And honestly, if you're listening to GameBuie, which is probably where you heard us from, if you mail us at mailbuie@gamebuie.org, we'll still get it anyway. You know, it all goes to the same place. Our home base, you know, is a little sparse right now, but that is animebuie.org.
Animebuie.org.
Which will have our complete episode archive as we continue to build it up. And let's get on with the shout-outs.
Well, the first shout-out I'd like to direct you toward is GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
That's where Slackick and I talk about video games you maybe haven't heard of, but most definitely should. We also, of course, want to direct you into the direction of our good friends over at the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, as well as Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy?
I'd like to recommend that if you are a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, you check out our archive of Reading is Fundamental, which I guess Rob was, you know, saying that we started a new show, but we have had a seasonal show going on for a few years now, and that is Reading is Fundamental, which is a sassy look, which how could it be anything but, about RuPaul's Drag Race, the drag queen reality competition, which is currently off-season at the moment, but we'll be gearing up for a big year in 2016 with two seasons of that show, Aaron. And, you know, if you're interested in gaming podcasts, you should really go over and on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
Check out all of our Hunty Bunch shows, all of the gaming shows that we love. And with that, I'd also like to put out a call. If you have any sort of geek-related or especially anime podcasts that you yourself run or that you're a big fan of, particularly if they're, you know, queer-friendly or left-of-center, but, you know, just anything that you think is good quality, we'd love to hear it. You know, I'm definitely have to admit I'm more in the gaming podcast sphere, but we'd definitely love to hear your podcast recommendations. We like to acknowledge great podcasters out there and, you know, The more voices out there, the better.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, thank you so much for spending time this lovely Sunday evening with us. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed talking to you. And we will be back at you in 2 weeks or so to talk about more amazing shows. So until then, keep watching, keep thinking, and, well, it's never been more appropriate to say,
see you, Space Cowboy.